I mean, it's the best podcast you'll ever be on, but probably, is it the least professional? Are we unprofessional?
No, I feel like I've been on less professional. I mean, certainly the environment is professional.
Yeah. Well, this is the content tower.
Right.
Contentsville.
Yeah.
We're both employees here.
We are.
And we're professionals.
We are professionals.
This is episode 43 of Corporate Lunch. And I'm here with Nomi Fry.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Nomi Fry.
Yes.
That's how you say it, right?
That is how I say it.
Is your name commonly mispronounced?
Yes, it is.
What do people typically say?
People say Naomi or Naomi, and I don't blame them because I do spell my name with an A, N-A-O-M-I, but because I'm from Israel originally, mm-hmm. and the name is most commonly pronounced Nomi there, even though it is the biblical name.
Got it.
So it's, you know, probably when I, like, moved to the States, maybe I should have just, like, spelled it different. I don't know. I just...
Or, like, drop the A so it would
be
apparent?
Yeah, or something, just so it would be... Yeah, because it is very confusing, and I understand when people, especially if people, like, know me online or, like, have read my writing, and
then they meet
me in person, and they're like, Naomi or whatever, and then I can't blame them. Right. I mean, a lot of people do. And then there's the awkward moment where I have to say, just so you know, and it's not your fault because I do spell it with an A, but I pronounce it Nomi because I'm from Israel, and that's how they pronounce it in Israel. And then it just goes into this whole like thing.
As a common mispronouncer, I mispronounce things all the time. I
like what?
Names constantly and all kinds of words. And I think I would always say, well, you know, it just means that you read a lot. Because then you read the words, you're online a lot. Don't say them. Yeah, I'm online way too much. And when, you don't have to talk about this because it's personal, but when did you move to the U.S.?
I moved as an adult. I moved in 2002 to go to grad school. But as a child and a teen, I lived in the States off and on with my parents just because my dad worked here. But but on my own, as it were, like without my parents as an adult, I guess it's been now 16 years.
But it's been sort of a little bit of both your whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although mostly Israel until I was like, in my mid-20s.
You work for The New Yorker.
I do.
You're a correspondent of sorts.
I guess my title is staff writer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not big on titles here.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty casual.
I don't know what my title is.
Yeah.
Podcast
host. What is your title? No.
I'm senior editor.
Ooh.
A senior editor.
Oh.
Of GQ and GQ Style.
Both.
But today I'm Corporate Lunch.
Right.
Co-CEO.
Right.
Oh, Will's out of town. That's not why Nomi's here, but...
It's why I'm here.
It's the way things have transpired is such that Will is out of town and Nomi's here instead.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like...
I'm also the new editor-in-chief of GQ.
That's right.
He's like, he left town, so now, I mean, that's just the way it works.
Whoever sits in this seat across from me is the editor-in-chief of GQ.
Right.
And then I feel like...
Mayor on the next cover.
All right, done. Book it. Sam, get to work. Is Sam writing it?
No, I'm writing it.
Oh. Well, typically I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but... Nomi was disappointed that Sam isn't on the podcast, like,
right?
Directly.
I mean, I just think Sam has a lot to contribute.
He does, and we let him do that, just not live on a microphone,
right?
Sam has a voice for Twitter.
He has a voice for Twitter, right?
What I really was gonna say or want to talk about is not anything other than Sam Hine.
Okay,
people talk about Sam Hine a lot,
yes,
for obvious reasons,
yes,
and I get a little jealous.
Right, because Sam is the next. I mean, he's the next generation. Let's face it.
I know, and I'm washed.
And you and I, Noah, are the old generation.
Yeah,
the older generation. And Sam is the future. He has like the non-binary haircut and
non-binary lifestyle. Really,
non-binary lifestyle. He has been photographed by Ryan McKinley
naked.
Naked. I mean, it's all there. And we're jealous. Let's face it.
I feel like your big break was when you wrote about wearing Supreme for the New York Times.
Yes. I was just thinking about it when I was
Did you know that was going to come up? Or is it like...
You mean In this, in the pod?
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about my journey with streetwear and how and how this, how long I can keep sort of treading water in, you know, in the choppy waves of the streetwear community and like how it all started. And then I was thinking back as I was like trudging to the subway and I was like, oh yeah, it was actually, I mean, I knew this, but I was sort of like thinking to myself, right, it was like about 2 years ago, I guess, or yeah, it was about, no, like 2.5 years ago maybe. And I had just turned 40 and my friend Jim Windolf, who was at the time an editor at Styles, was like, you know, we started talking and he was like, why don't you write about this? Like about like, mm-hmm. You're a mom and you're like, you just turned 40 and you should write about like how you like bought a Supreme vest or something. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, I was thinking about it. Is this a good idea? Whatever. And then,
The vest like to write a piece?
No. I just, you know, it was something, I think what happened is it was something I was tweeting about, yeah, as is my, you know, as is my way. And then
it's one of your areas of concern. It's, yeah, like it's a topic. It's in,
right,
your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it is the wheelhouse. And then Jim was like, I think there might be a story there.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, you think, whatever. And then I just ended up writing it and it was kind of
it made you famous.
In a very niche.
Did James Jebbia like write you a thank you?
He
didn't.
No.
Send you a box?
No, he didn't. No, I wish. Although at the time I was working for the Times, so probably I would have had to like be like, no gifts,
yeah,
right? No, he didn't. In fact, no one has, to this day, no one has reached out from Supreme. So,
well, here she is, guys. You know how to find her. James and
yeah,
the gang over there.
James and the gang.
Friends of the pod. They all listen.
Yeah.
One thing I like about that piece and your whole attitude in general is that you're not cynical. Like I reread that piece this morning, mm-hmm, and I was like, this is such a, I mean, it's real and it felt very accurate, but also like didn't take the easy road of just kind of like bagging on Supreme and the culture around it for the things that annoy people, like the lines they attract and like,
right,
the type of like sometimes annoying kids that like are often wearing the brand and like all that stuff, which you kind of like doesn't seem to really bother you or isn't really what you care about when you think about.
No, I mean, I guess
phenomenon.
I was thinking more about when I was thinking about that piece today, I was like, you know, reflecting on what was interesting to me about it. And I guess for me personally, it was just, I mean, obviously it's a question of kind of an intergenerational, like somewhat inappropriate interest in, mm-hmm, like youth culture at an age where I'm like not supposed to, you know, I have a child, mm-hmm, I'm like past 40. It's not supposed to be interesting anymore, like to me. And it's not interesting in the same way, obviously. Like I've been through stuff that kids, you know, like a 21-year-old kid who's like, you know, like whatever, like a hype beast or something hasn't been through, and
yeah,
I have different concerns. Like I'm worried about what's middle school my daughter is going to go to at some point, and
right,
you know, stuff like that, and or whatever, just like my job and my like
real
health
life
insurance, you know, but
adult stuff.
But there's still like a spirit there that I guess is interesting for me to explore, and so for me, thinking about Supreme is just not so much like critiquing it, although of course there's plenty to critique and
right,
like laugh at, and it's,
yeah,
like a you know, in some ways a stupid like preoccupation,
yeah,
quote unquote like stupid, but in other ways like I still find that fashion is very important to me, or like
right,
thinking about it, even not even so much like pursuing it myself, but
right,
as a sort of cultural
right
thing, like what it means.
Well, you do similar things with pop culture, like
yeah,
your relationship with Spencer Pratt,
right,
or,
yeah,
various characters and corners of the pop culture world that are that you sort of incorporate in ways to like juxtapose yourself with, or like blend into yourself.
Yeah.
And that in itself becomes like its own, that's like your project a little bit.
Right. Yeah, a little bit. And I was talking to, you know, I recently did this like interview with this website, The Carrot, that came out. I mean, it was something that I kind of did like a year ago, or not the interview. I did the photos a year ago, and then they disappeared a little, and then they came back, and I did the interview, and then it just came out last week. And they asked me like what's interesting to me on Instagram, and I was like, one of the things that I'm really into is like, you know, these sort of like young performatively slutty like art girls.
Yeah.
Which I'm always interested in, like, following and sort of am fascinated with their lives.
Yeah.
Or, like, aspiring actresses.
Who are some
but sort of
these?
Of like,
can we
you know,
name
like,
some handles?
Yeah, sure. I mean, some of these people, like, you know, this woman, Dasha Nekrasova, who's, like, now I'm actually friends with. You know, she's very intelligent and funny. Yeah. It's not like, I'm not saying it like slutty as a bad thing, you know, just like it's almost like a performative project.
Got you.
But at the same time, so just for instance, but there's like a lot of different, you know, people I don't even know, you know, like or exactly know who they are or what they do in life, because it's all very obscure sometimes, you know, it's like these girls, and maybe they're like living upstate and they're like not doing anything, you know, and they're maybe addicted to like Xanax or something, but there's somehow, you know, just like, I mean, it's probably not that glamorous, which is actually part of what's interesting about it. But there's like a weird thing where in some ways, I guess I have a problem with this project, you know? I mean, obviously my life is different, and I would like to think that like, you know, the project of womanhood is like, I don't know if womanhood is a project, but you know, I mean, it's multifaceted, you know, it's like, but, and so, you know, I don't know how like, quote unquote, like good it is for the culture in some ways, but in other ways, I think it's super interesting and I'm attracted to it. And I feel the same way about like, you know, someone like Spencer or like Supreme Kids or something, you know, it's things that I'm like, is this really like ideologically, am I really like, completely on board with what these people are doing?
Yeah.
No, not totally, but there's a spark there, something that's interesting to me and that I often befriend. I'm not to say that I'm like, I'm not patronizing at all towards whatever these people are doing. It's just, I have a complicated relationship with it, and I think partly it has to do with my own, whatever, insecurities or like things I think I'm missing in my life that I'm sort of like overcompensate with, and with these like preoccupations.
It's interesting that you frame it that way, that there's this like cohesion with like these areas you'll bounce to and from. Cause if you like on Twitter, like following your like trains of thoughts or like the areas you'll go to and from, there's like a similar flavor to them, or there's like a similar way that you're incorporating them. But you said we started, and you were talking about how long you'll continue to tread water in the streetwear world. Let's unpack that.
Yeah.
Where are you at currently with it? Because these things change like really rapidly.
I know. And I don't really follow it that. I mean, on Twitter, I follow you guys, and I like read some of the stuff you cover. Yeah. And like, I'm friends with Chris Black, who's like, you know, sort of into, you know,
Gap
model Chris Black. Yeah. It's a classic spring fit or whatever it is. I forget the, but I just mean, so I'm kind of, I keep abreast of like, you know, the general developments, but I'm not like totally into the minutiae of like every drop at all. Like I have no idea.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not interesting.
Right.
But then there becomes like good overlap, because like one of, also friend of the pod and one of our shared areas of interest, Justin Bieber, who
love
then
Bieber.
Becomes like he's most notable for his style lately, partly because he's put out some new music, I guess, but he doesn't really talk or do much else. He just gets his picture taken.
Well, he got married.
That's right.
Yeah. But that too was right. That doesn't have to do with his music, I guess. You're right. So
I was actually have to apologize, because we talked about last week the burrito thing, which was fake.
A hoax.
That's stupid.
So my friend Zach actually said something interesting about that. So the burrito thing was fake, and then he was like, you guys probably remember that a couple weeks before that, Bieber was photographed allegedly doing,
a bump
on the street, right?
Was that fake? No, you could see his face. Yeah.
I mean, you could see it. But so my friend Zach was like, okay, I think the burrito thing, in the manner of like fake news, it was, I mean, not, this is kind of like, generally speaking, not that it was directly said, but it basically, he was like, I think this is totally alleged, right? This is just a theory. But he was like, I think that the people who planned the hoax had Bieber in on it. Like, Bieber was involved in the hoax. Like, he knew about it behind the scenes.
As a little bit of like a rehabilitation or a...
A little bit of like... Do you trust what you, what do you trust? Like when you see me.
Oh, I see.
Like on the street, you know, being papped and I'm doing something.
Don't assume like.
Don't assume this is like totally real, or maybe it's like doctored. I mean, obviously you could see his face in the Coke picture.
Yeah.
But like Zach's thing was like, it was done with Bieber's participation to sow doubt, on the Coke picture.
Right. Right.
Which
if you can get people to question, if you can get you to start
to
question what you see on Splash News, then maybe you'll.
Which
that's
is like,
pretty sound.
Which is like a little bit Trumpian, I guess, if this is true. It's probably not true, but I mean, as a theory, it's interesting because then it's like, what do we really trust? You know, we see these pictures of celebrities, you know, seemingly doing something.
Yeah.
But then it's like fake news. I don't know. It's interesting. But anyway, the burrito.
It was sort of genius, though, because there was, it was believable that he would do that somehow. I guess it's not. I don't know. We were like, well, last week, Will and I on Corporate Lunch episode 42, where I was celebrating the genius and the, like, you know, his out-of-the-box thinking and, like, his ability to resist convention and... In all things. And then he shaved his head and now... And
I know.
That's
I don't like that. The picture that came out yesterday, I think, or a couple days ago, where Haley is wearing that big boxy sort of 80s Kim Basinger blazer.
Right.
And he's like... It's made
is that
look,
in the Christ Vans?
Yes, in the Christ Vans. Yeah. So I thought it made him look... It took him back.
Yeah.
It took him back... To like, I want to say almost like the YouTube days. Like it looked
like
looked,
him in his bedroom with a guitar.
Well, just like 12. He looked really. It made him look much younger.
Yeah, probably
and like,
his age.
Right, but like his head was much smaller looking.
Smaller than you think. Yeah.
Smaller than you think. I mean, he was wearing, I think, a hat over it, like a wool hat.
There's another picture though without the hat on where I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, Bieber's got a tiny head. It's probably like a what's his new era size? It's probably like a 7. That's small. Bieber also...
But I love Bieber and I love his look overall.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And I think, I think it's really... The last year has been incredible.
Bieber's,
or even more, even longer. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for him to like... Yeah. I feel like he's been doing this thing where he's both laying low, but also you see him constantly. I like as a person in the media, obviously we are interested and I'm just like, when is he going to like give an interview or when is something going to happen?
Yeah.
Like the next big event for him. But Bieber, skateboarder.
Yes.
I'm a skateboarder.
Yes.
You're an aspiring skateboarder.
I mean, you
this
know,
comes
the
thing
up,
is, you tease it. You like to sort of
my husband is a little tired of this bit. Because I've said to him, you know how you see skateboarders on the street and they're like, you know, about our age and you're like, is it too late? Like, is it, is this too, is this something one needs to stop when one's like 23 or something or, but then I thought, you know what? No, it doesn't need to stop. It's fine. And it looks okay. You know, if the look is good, I think it's fine. And
yeah, it depends on how the pants fit.
Exactly, the pants and like, but the thing is with me, I'm just not the most agile and coordinated person.
Uh-huh.
So I just think not even on the level of like I'm too old. I just think even were I like 22, I don't know if I would be the person.
Well, but this is how you would become more agile and coordinated.
So you think it actually
contributes. Yeah, you enhance those skills.
Huh. So maybe it's not too late, you know? Maybe
skateboarding is funny because it's a young sport, right? Like activity. It hasn't been around for very long. Yeah. And then like...
So we're making up the rules as we go along.
Exactly.
Noah.
And there's no like... There's no like elder generation of, you know, like.
Right. Well, there is, I mean, somewhat. Like at this point, they're like, what, in their 40s, 50s?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's like new. The fact that having like 40-year-old street skaters is really new.
Yeah.
And they're everywhere. Like they're in, I mean, I'm out there skating all the time and there's lots of guys my age and older.
Where do you go?
Just all over the city. Skate parks. There's skate parks everywhere. Last night we skated at, in like downtown Brooklyn at a skate park.
And is it like. Do you have a crew?
Yeah.
And
definitely.
And like, and you like, you're like, okay, we'll meet you at, I'll see you at like a certain time and place.
Yeah. We all have like normal day jobs. And like during the day, it's the text chain. Like who's skating tonight? Cause it was nice last night. And there's like some lights at this park.
What do the other people do? Like what kind of jobs do they have?
All types of stuff, like regular, anything from just like regular office stuff in like a finance job to like some sort of media people to some like more art people that have like job, like photo editors and like.
Right. And are they all sort of like streetwear-y or are they like sort of square?
I mean, everyone dresses like a skater, you know, it's just like Dickies and a beanie and a T-shirt. And,
like when they skate.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's pretty much, their like fits aren't really changing that much when they're not skating.
Do you do tricks?
Definitely.
Okay. Like
a kickflip.
Kickflip.
Maybe like a grind.
You should, do you know my friend Willie Staley?
Yeah.
Who is also a skater?
Yeah, shout out Skate Twitter.
Yeah.
Skate Twitter's a real thing. Those are all adults on Skate Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
Actually.
Willie's like 34, I think, 33.
Yeah, he's got a job.
Yeah.
The adult skate thing is really funny because it comes up and a lot of times like on Twitter, because no one would say it to my face, people will say things like, oh, I saw this like dude in his 30s on a skateboard. Like it's just this preposterous thing. But you have to be like, I don't know. I started skating in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And I didn't stop.
Yeah.
Like, if you grew up playing basketball, you probably still play in, like, an adult pickup league. Like, my friends, I have friends in their 40s who play in hockey leagues. You know, like, I don't know. That's such a weird thing that one would stop. But most people do stop probably because they suck and they're losers and they weren't good. So they quit because
it was
too hard.
I think people are just jealous.
Super jealous.
Is what I think.
I can literally fly.
I'm jealous.
So that's the thing. So you should...
So what would you suggest?
Skating.
Like how?
You just got to get a board and start rolling.
So like
push
in
around,
a park?
Take some slams, probably.
Or like in a
I'd go to like a
old
tennis
parking lot.
Like a tennis court. Parking lots can be rough. Like tennis court, somewhere where the ground is more like painted and like kind of has like a polished smoothness to it.
Okay. Maybe it could be one of those like horrible things where like I force my daughter to like learn with me.
I was just gonna say, does your daughter skate?
No, she doesn't.
Is she interested in it?
I mean, I could see her. She hasn't brought it up, but I could see her like. I just don't want it to be one of those like horrible Brooklyn things where I'm like, you have to skate.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you just want
I mean,
her
like,
to...
I'm like making her imposing my own lost dreams.
Yeah, well, she
on
has
my,
to like. She's part of your aesthetic world, so theoretically.
Yeah, but I don't want to force it on her, you know. But maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's a thought. It's
you just
a thought.
Get a skateboard.
Yes.
Just like put it in the hall and leave it. Don't say anything about it.
Oh.
And then would she be, I'll give you a skateboard for this. And then like, don't you think one day she'd be like, oh, what's this? And you'd be like, oh, that? I don't know.
Do kids need like special skateboards?
They make kind of smaller ones. Yeah.
Okay.
But girls skating is a like a movement.
Right. There's all
which
of
is
the
like
crews.
Sounds crazy. I mean, girls have always skated a little bit, but there's way like there's more professional women skateboarding, which is really sick. And there's like more videos, and you can go on Thrasher and see more women skating, and they're like really there's like momentum behind it, and it's like generating energy.
Right.
So now's the time for both you and your daughter to start skating.
Okay, so maybe it's a time. Maybe it's a... The thing is, I'm really battling. I'm up against a lot here in terms of, like, self-image, actual aptitude.
Mm.
And a legacy of a very non-athletic family.
Yeah. Well.
And, you know, just heritage.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. So I have to sort of figure things out.
Yeah.
But, you know, things can change. Like, we're always growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And changing. So I think it's not impossible that
definitely
I would learn to skate.
I would encourage it. People ask me a lot about learning to skate.
Really?
Adult men ask me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you say? Just do it?
No, I say don't bother. Like, go to the gym. Like, get on the treadmill. Like, put on some, you know, like, little Uzi Vert.
Right.
And run until, like, you want to pass out and just do that. That's what you do with your energy. Don't skate. You're going to get hurt.
Is it very, like, do you burn?
I just don't need any more, like older dudes at the skate park, like, being idiots and getting in my way.
Right.
But, like, women and younger women, I think we need more of, so that's good, positive.
Okay.
And I encourage it.
And in the skate park, are there a lot of, like, younger people as well when you and your crew skate?
Kind of, but...
Kids? It sometimes,
often.
Like, 15-year-olds or something?
Yeah.
What's the relationship between you and them? Or, like, kind of the vibe?
They'll often, like, look at me and my friends because we're so old, and they'll think we're, like...
Cops?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, really cool. Like, like, little kids will think that we're, like, pros.
Oh, right. So
but
you're
we're definitely
like...
not. Like, I'm definitely not a professional skateboarder. But you'll get, like, this, like, crazy, like, amount of respect. And meanwhile, they're, like, much better skaters.
Right.
I like to find little kids and then play them in skate and hopefully beat them.
Yeah.
And humiliate them.
Right.
But often they beat me. It rarely happens.
Right.
But... You know, skateboarding is all about style. That's, like, my whole thing.
Yes.
And I feel like you've already, like, got a lot of that. You're kind of ready.
Right. So I'm ready on that level.
Yeah. So that's, like, really, like, you're really close.
Okay. So now it's just, like, the actual skill of skateboarding.
What was the last thing you bought to wear?
Let's see. What was the last thing? My new Stussy sweater that I got on Grailed.
Oh, Grailed.
I wore it yesterday.
Stussy on Grailed.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Yes. It was because...
Were you looking for this piece and found it on Grailed, or you just browsing Grailed?
I was
and you
browsing Grailed, as
How
one
often
does.
Do you browse Grailed?
Every once in a while. I haven't bought a lot of stuff on it.
Check daily, or like maybe a quick check weekly? This is a really personal question.
I want to say every couple weeks, probably.
Oh, that's not very frequent.
No. It's just, it's a, I was looking.
Like you just get a little itch, like, I got to spend some, I need something new. I'm going to go look at Grailed.
Kind of, but I also look at other places. I look on eBay. Mm-hmm. I look on, you know, I just, but I also do it for like photography. Not that I really have money for it, but you know, I look on eBay for like, oh, is there like, you know, there was like a sale on the, I think it ends today, by the way, on the Magnum website where
I saw that.
The 6x6
$100
prints.
Yeah.
So, you know, stuff like, so I like browse stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I pull the trigger.
Okay.
But with this particular sweater, I went on Grailed and I, in the search tab, I wrote mohair sweater.
Oh, just on a, well, it's almost, it's like the weather's changing. Was it maybe a chilly
day
like, that day?
I was like, like maybe a fuzzy sweater for fall. And then a variety of things came up. And one of the things that came up was this Stussy sweater that has, it's like sort of a zebra print, like purple and black.
Mm-hmm.
And
did it say what year it was from?
It's like from 2016 maybe or 2017. Okay. It's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was selling it and it was like $90 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worn it twice.
Was there a negotiation?
I made an offer. There was actually. I was like, "Okay, I'm just going to." And with that it's always weird because I'm like I haven't done it that much, but I'm always like it's a weird thing. You don't want to, like, bid too low. You don't want to, like, insult the person. But at the same time, you're like, you do want to feel like you've gained something.
You save $20. It's $20.
Right.
Towards but the next grailed purchase.
But it's like weird because I never know. I'm not a very good haggler. But I was just
sometimes
like,
it's just better to get the transaction done and not.
Right. Exactly.
Have you worn it yet?
Yes, I've worn it twice. I wore it yesterday and I wore it last week.
So already paying for it.
Yeah. So I'm I've gotten a couple compliments on it.
So you're feeling good about it.
I'm feeling.
I wish you wore it today so I could compliment it. But I can already picture it, and I think it was a good choice. Did you wear a Stussy when you were young?
I didn't. No.
You didn't have like in the aforementioned Supreme article, you talk a little bit about the way you dressed and sort of like shaped yourself in your mind and with your clothes as a young person and how that kind of like led you on your life's journey as a streetwear like acolyte. But I would just think Stussy, because Stussy, we're of an age where Stussy has like had multiple lives and like
that's true.
There was like a, but I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Stussy. I didn't wear it. But I did wear.
Did you have brand allegiances as a young person?
I had some.
In Israel and
USA? Yeah, I did. I mean, I guess.
I feel like Israeli kids at the time when you were a kid probably had dope style.
I mean, I think it was like, what was I? You know, I didn't have like, I mean, I was like middle class, but definitely my family didn't like it. I mean, they're like supportive, like wonderful people, but it wasn't like. Oh, the main thing is like fashion. It was like way, way in the back of like the priority
strong
list.
Same.
So I had to kind of
just like steal from friends. That's what
I
used to
or
do.
Just like, I mean, it wasn't. It was almost considered. It was considered a little frivolous, maybe, like in my family to be interested.
Is.
No, it is, but it's like it was really considered like a dumb person thing, maybe. Or like even
it
not.
It also is.
It also is. I mean, but also just not considered. But I think. I'm trying to think back when I was a teenager. I think it was it was like important to me to know stuff and to sort of be like cosmopolitan in a way that like because you know this was sort of like on the cusp of the internet.
Yeah.
So it was like all magazines, and it was like really. It was all about sort of like limited access, I guess,
which is
an interesting thing to think about now. Now those sort of things are probably more kind of like artificially produced, you know, if a drop is limited or if, you know, but then it was literally like if someone went to America and brought back a magazine, that was the magazine you looked at.
Right.
And there wasn't that much.
It wasn't part of a strategy or something.
Right.
Like, it wasn't deliberate.
And so I guess what did I do in terms of brands? Well, I was very into, I was like, I subscribed to magazines. I subscribed to The Face. Mm-hmm. I subscribed to British Vogue. I loved British Vogue at the time. And then I think I also subscribed to American Vogue at some point. This is like in my late teens. And, you know, all of these things are like totally etched in my mind because I would look, you know, because it was... This was our internet.
Right.
You know, so
you would pour over it.
I would just pour
like,
over it and like totally
and again,
remember like images and like, you know, sentences. And in terms of what I wore.
Imagine that, not just the reading a magazine, but reading a magazine multiple times.
Oh my God.
And then multiple times over the course of like weeks, even months. I would do that with
so many times.
Skate magazines. Now people maybe like pick it up.
Right. So it was a really different engagement with the written word and the, you know, kind of.
Did you always want to write?
I think when I was a child, like until I hit puberty, probably like until I was like 11 or 12, I wrote and I thought I was really funny. And I wrote, you know. Whatever stuff for school, if we had to write like a creative essay or something, but also just for myself.
Yeah.
Like I would, me and a friend would make magazines.
Yeah.
This was all in Hebrew, but like we would make like fake magazines that were like, I mean, we thought they were really funny. And so I think I totally was like unselfconsciously writing and also sort of thinking pretty highly of myself and feeling like, unselfconscious about it. But then I think once I hit puberty,
you became aware of,
I started like hating myself in a variety of ways. And then I was like, oh, no, you know, and I kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And then it took me like 20 years to come back.
Really? Yeah.
Not 20, but it took me a while.
But it was there all along.
I mean,
I just been hiding it.
I guess so. Or I was suppressing it. I was embarrassed about it, or I didn't think I had anything to say really. And then I guess I channeled it towards academic work. So I, you know, did undergrad and then I went to grad school and I thought I would be an academic. So my writing was funneled towards, you know, academic writing.
What did you study in grad school?
English literature. But I never finished. Mm. Yeah. So I have a master's, but I...
No PhD.
No PhD, yeah.
What is it called? Everything but...
ABD.
Are you ABD?
I'm ABD. I'm still ABD,
That's
yeah.
pretty sick.
Yeah.
ABD's like way cooler than having a PhD.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that you had something better to do. Conceivably.
What... someone was just talking about other... media, powerful media women who are ABD. I think Sally Singer is.
That sounds familiar.
And,
I feel like I might have heard that.
There was another Vogue editor. Whatever, I'm not going to get
I mean,
right.
There's a number of people. Actually, the school... I went to Johns Hopkins for my PhD, uncompleted PhD, and there are a couple of people... in media who also went to Johns Hopkins and never finished, who
really?
Are ABD. Yeah, like A.O. Scott, Tony Scott from The Times is, I mean, people who were there before me, I don't know them from there.
That's funny though, just because it's sort of not random, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's
not
like,
a school I would think of as like...
Well, it's in English, it's...
But I don't know anything about English programs.
Right.
So.
It's like a good school.
It's
like
best.
A...
It's the best in the world,
the
I'm sure.
No, but it's like... I mean, I don't know now because I don't keep up with that, but it was like definitely at the time like a top 10 program. But I mean, I don't keep up with it, but it's a good school. It's like weirdly a good humanities, like advanced humanities.
Yeah,
I believe good school.
I'm like, sorry I was discouraging about it.
Oh, no, that's fine. But anyway, yeah, so there's a couple of people like Tony Scott and Larissa McFarker, I think, mm-hmm. also. I don't know... them from there, but I think they're both ABD from Hopkins.
And now you...
I might be wrong.
Now you just flourish as a writer.
Thank you. So I did the academic thing. It didn't take. And then I just started... I guess I had to make the sort of detour through academia in order to like remember that I can write or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It took a really long time though. It took like
But it set you on a path
years.
In a way.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely set me on a path. And it was very important to me, to my development, like my thinking and stuff. I don't regret it at all. Yeah, I don't.
I feel the same way. People ask about like educational stuff and like,
right,
what
because
did you
do you
study?
Have an MFA?
I do, yeah. I have an MFA.
Did you do like nonfiction? Or?
Fiction.
Oh, fiction.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know it was fiction.
So it's
did
like.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I did. I mean, I have a conflicted relationship with it a little bit because of the nature of like what it costs and like how it all works and like the system and the bureaucracy of the university. But
what years were you there?
I don't remember. 2007 to 11. No, wait. Maybe 2009 to 11 or 7 to 9.
Okay. That's okay.
I really don't remember.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Right.
I think. I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
I just would have to like look at a calendar.
Right.
But people, it's a funny thing. You know, it's hard to like say like how worth it that was or whatever. But here we are now recording a podcast together
in the content
academics.
Tower, a beautiful view of downtown Manhattan from the window.
Let's talk about online ceramics for a second because that's very much in our zone. You quoted Sam Hine in the piece you wrote for the New Yorker.
Sam gave me a great quote
about hippie streetwear. Sam coined the term "shake down street supreme."
Yes,
it's pretty nice. I thought
that was a good quote.
Contributed a lot to that piece. But that was one of those things where you really like put a flag in a moment that like everyone was talking about but hadn't quite like gotten like it felt like a thing that would be hard to capture somehow as it was going on and then you just went and did it. And then I was like, oh yeah, this is like she just nailed it.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's nice. I worked
like the idea
a lot
of it being
piece.
The idea
My
of their
editor really helped me. Shout out Emily Stokes. Yeah.
Just the idea of like the hippie streetwear thing, which I think is, it's very apparent now.
Yeah.
And just the way all the sort of threads connect between that and like the Supreme Kids and the role John Mayer plays in the whole thing, of course, and
of
just
course.
Like, some of the spirit of the whole thing and like what makes it cool, but also what makes it sort of authentic again,
yeah.
a totally non-cynical kind of take on
yeah.
it, which,
no, I think those, I think the online ceramics, like Alex and Elijah, are, they really are kind of the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you take acid with them?
I did not. Mm. No. But also Elijah told me he doesn't do acid.
Oh.
Alex does.
Yeah.
Apparently
That's
a lot.
In the piece.
But Elijah was like, I don't.
So
do
you
it.
Put a good amount of work into that piece. How did
I
that
really
come
did,
together?
Yeah.
And what was like your experience like doing that?
So I pitched it to my editor, and at first she was like, "Why is this? This seems like sort of silly." Because she's just not in really on the the sort of inner fashion conversation.
Yeah.
Of the moment.
And it's not exact. I mean, I know the New Yorker covers everything far and wide, and you couldn't really pinpoint exactly what they do and don't do, but it felt, I don't know, if like new territory. It was like a slightly
yeah.
surprising to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not surprising to see it, and then to see your name on it was like, oh, Nomi's on one. But there was also
right.
like, ooh, the New Yorker doing this was kind of interesting.
Right, so yeah, it's not like an immediate, necessarily an immediate, like I sort of had to convince a little bit and sort of to explain what it was and why it signified something for the certain moment we're at. And so that was the first part of it. And then I went to LA just because, not for that, but I was just, no, I guess before that I went to see them. So when
in Boulder.
Dead & Co, no, not in Boulder, in the city, in Queens.
Oh.
I went
at
to
city
see
Field.
At City Field.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So it was a Saturday, I think, or a Sunday, and I went with my husband and my daughter, and then...
Because you guys are all deadheads?
No, we didn't go to the show.
Oh.
No, and, you know, yeah, my daughter's... I don't know if it's like... although there were kids there, I guess, but it's just a weird
yeah.
scene, as I'm sure you know. And so we just went, we drove to Queens, and then... Yeah, and my daughter was like, what is this? You know, I got her like a little bracelet, you know, sort of like
yeah.
little friendship bracelet yeah. in one of the stalls.
Does she still wear it?
She has it. I think it fell off and then she didn't. But yeah, and then my husband and daughter sort of wandered around and I spent like an hour with Alex and Elijah just
okay.
sort of observe, like talking to them a little bit and observing
yeah.
the kids
the
who
line.
Come who come up and they just had a sort of like their bag like
big
on the floor
bag, yeah.
yeah and just the things like
yeah.
on it was very like low tech
yeah
lo-fi but they were really nice and it was just interesting to see and it's such a weird scene. I'm not a deadhead. I'd never been to a dead show.
Yeah.
I mean it's interesting to me as a phenomenon but I've never really been into the music.
Yeah.
I've listened to it a little bit, but I've never like gotten into it.
Yeah.
And I'm
not really like the jam band type.
No, I'm not. And I'm also not really. Yeah, I guess I'm not really
into. That
was
sort of a slur against the dead. I didn't mean to call them a jam band.
Yeah. Well, but it's a thing, you know.
I feel like Will would be like, this is like Will's lane. And like, he would be upset if he heard me say that. So I just needed to back it up a little bit.
But it's a particular thing. We can agree. It's like a particular
Definitely.
Type of thing.
The cool thing about them. And I think you're, Elijah or Alex say this in the piece is just how experimental they actually were and the fact that they didn't like
yeah.
have a record label and that they were really
yeah.
a super indie DIY outfit. And like friends of mine who are really into like arty punk music that I would never listen to, like have huge respect for the dead as like an experimental.
Yeah.
Band.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's like not an easy thing to listen to in a way.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
not an easy, like arguably it's much easier to listen to something like, I mean, things that get more respect, you know, sort of like in
yeah.
the indie, you know, just even like sort of like classic, like the Pixies or something, things that are considered smarter.
Yeah.
I just mean from like days past,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah. sure.
but are easier to listen to. Yeah. It sort of demands less of the listener in yeah. some ways. It's more enjoyable.
Right. Ouch.
I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah. It just takes time and like a kind of effort to get into it.
Was the impetus a little bit for the online ceramics piece that there'd be a mayor component to it or no?
I guess
it all comes together.
Yeah, it all comes together. Obviously not. I mean, you know, love mayor and... Of course, yes, in some ways, but no. I mean, I would have done it. Like, I thought yeah. it was interesting in and of itself. Yeah. And Mayer, you know, as always, is just a cherry on top, yeah. you know. but no, not really. I mean, I just thought it was interesting, and I thought they were cool and yeah. like, and that sort of bore out when I met them, and I was like, okay, these people are like really, they're the real deal, and they're just art kids, you know, they're art kids but with like heart and
yeah.
like
yeah.
You know, thoughts. And a friend of mine texted me recently. My friend Mike, who lives in Arizona now, but he had just, I guess, read the piece, like sort of like was reading it like just a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, I ordered a couple of shirts because of the piece, because he had uh-huh. known about yeah. them, and then he was like, I think I wish I could find it. Maybe I can find his text, because it was really, oh yeah, I have genuine feelings about online ceramics. And I said, oh my god, what do you feel? And he said, it really captures the fear of, fuck, am I too high? And I said, yes. I said, haha, yes. They're nice, gentle dudes. And he said, I believe it, though they also make me nervous. I bought two. Your ego is not your amigo, and happiness is an inside job. I bought the Amigo one off Grailed and thought, man, I wonder how long before someone says, what does your shirt say, followed by turn around. And it was literally the first person I saw out of the house that day. he said, the sinister ass moon over the heart area, sweating laborers, it has an epic quality. but I just thought about the thing about like the sort of like dread that's like
yeah.
part of it. Which he pinpointed, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, it's sort of, it has this good, bad vibe. Like, they have a lot of good vibes,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also have this, like...
Well, aesthetically, it has a sinister feeling
yeah.
to it. And that plays into the messaging and the twistedness of it all.
Yeah.
And the, like, occult vibe of it all. And
mm-hmm.
Did you hear from Elijah and Alex after the piece was published, and did it change their business in a dramatic way?
I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, I have no idea. Yeah. They didn't say anything, but I heard from both of them, and they were both very like happy and you know, sweet about it. And
yeah.
like, I don't know about the business piece of it.
Do you have a next, not that you would disclose if you did, but what's the next, underground brand movement on your radar?
Oh, underground brand movement. I don't know if it's an under... No, it's not an underground. I don't know if I have... You know what I really like lately is... I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do it, obviously, but like just printing stuff on Cafe Press shirts.
Like, you think just, I guess a lot of people do that. I mean, I don't, but...
I mean, I just printing your own shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I like doing that. I did that recently
What did you print?
I printed... There's this picture of Mike Kelly and Kim Gordon yeah. in the 90s where there's... I think they're in some music festival and they're yeah. leaning against the car.
Uh-huh.
And it's like probably from like 90... It's a picture from like 93 maybe uh-huh. or something, or like 94. And it's like it's in color, and I just printed it on a white
t-shirt. So you're designing your own street. This is the beginning of what you're saying
is yes.
that Nomi Fry,
yes.
the brand, is underway.
Yeah, I just did one for myself. So
people can DM you and make orders.
Yeah, and I did one. I actually did one a few months ago with a picture of River Phoenix on it that actually...
God.
A lot of people were like, I want this,
yeah.
but nothing came of it. I didn't follow up, sort of, because it's not really, I mean, that would be weird. Oh, I will say that me and my husband have been planning to do this. My husband, Ohad Marami, by the way, he has a name. I've been planning to do this for a long time, but maybe we'll finally do it. a Cats of Tel Aviv calendar because the Tel Aviv has a lot of cats,
like stray cats, street cats.
Yeah, who are pretty well taken care of because a lot of people like, I don't know, I guess they seem fine.
Yeah.
But they have a problem with like, yeah, they look pretty well fed. It's not like depressing. It's like Istanbul or something or Athens. Yeah. It's like one of those cities where there's a lot of cats.
And they probably keep the mice and rats away.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure it also has It has like some good aspects. And but whenever we're in Israel, we usually go once a year to visit family, and we take a lot of pictures because we're obsessed with cats. And we've amassed like a lot of
good ones. Yeah.
And so we've been planning for a while to do a Cats of Tel Aviv.
So maybe like calendar. 2020, or maybe you can get it ready for
2019. No, maybe for 2019.
Oh, yeah, you have time actually. Yeah. I mean, I would think.
So maybe this is the next vibe.
Okay. That's your first vibe?
That's my first vibe.
We're going into 13 vibes now. You have to announce it.
Oh, we're going into 13 vibes now. 13 vibes. Okay. So the first vibe is the forthcoming, the possibly forthcoming calendar by me and my husband, Ohad Meromi, Cats of Tel Aviv. And I think, and at least part of the proceeds will like donate to like I don't know, Doctors Without Borders, like
Save Cats, maybe a cat thing,
a cat thing, also like a Palestine thing, possibly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, this is all up in the air still. But
okay, we're working on it. Look out for that.
Yeah.
My vibe is the sexy Central Park duck, which we were maybe going to talk about, which is probably feeling a little tired.
He's it's already a little tired.
Is it a real thing?
I mean, it's a thing. He's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow.
Gorgeous duck.
Showed up on Halloween too.
Really? Oh, yeah. you mean he showed, I thought like someone dressed up as the duck. No, I mean he literally, that would be amazing.
Someone definitely did.
Like really quick.
Yeah, you could just like paint your face.
Right. No, just gorgeous duck.
I don't know.
So
it's
that's
just
your vibe?
Nice when that happens. Yeah, that's a vibe.
Yeah,
I mean, want to say any more about it.
No, it's just a beautiful thing. It's a thing of beauty.
Plagued the internet. So let's just appreciate a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it's a thing of beauty. Another vibe. Let's see. What is another vibe? I'm reading a good, a very nice sort of sexy noir novel from New York Review of Books now.
What's
that
it?
A lot of people have read, I'm sure. It's called In a Lonely Place.
And by?
By Dorothy B. Hughes. So it's by a woman.
Written
in like the 40s. Mm-hmm. So it's like LA in the 40s. Uh-huh. Narrated by a murderer who's also handsome.
Do you read a lot of like noir? Are
I do like noir.
Raymond, I've read some Chandler books, but that's about it.
Yeah, I like noir. I've read like some Jim Thompson books, like The Grifters.
Yeah. Is this one a standout? Wait, will you say the name of it one more time?
It's called In a Lonely Place. And it's the first book I've read by Dorothy B. Hughes. I mean, it's by a woman, so I guess that's kind of a little unusual because it's a kind of very kind of manly. But it's narrated by a man, and it reads very sort of, I mean, he's like a killer, you know?
Is it thrilling?
It's kind of thrilling.
Is it a page turner?
It's a bit of a page turner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a vibe, I guess, just like a random of the moment.
I think I'll pick up that book. I do a thing where once I won't do it right now because we're recording a podcast, but I often just, it's kind of bad, but I'll just go to Amazon and add a book right to my cart.
Yeah.
Right when someone tells it to
me. Sure. Oh, that's a good idea.
But then I try to go, the bookstore Word is right around the corner from my apartment, so I'll open my Amazon cart and go to Word and walk, but they have a very limited selection, but I'll walk around and see if anything in my cart is there first.
Right. As support your local business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of an annoying thing that
I
do. My next vibe is the brand Sci-Fi Fantasy. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it. In fact,
that's what I was wearing.
Yes, you were wearing it.
This is my favorite brand of the moment. It's run by Jerry Su, who's like one of the greatest skateboarders of all time.
So is that what it is? Because I've seen it. I'll tell you, when I first encountered Sci-Fi Fantasy, it was about a year ago. As maybe you know, Noah, I've had one of my bits has been like accosting the Safdie brothers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so then
Right here filming Uncut Gems, just like...
Oh, really? Right here? Downtown?
No, but like somewhere in New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening.
With Adam Sandler, you could like show up.
I know.
Anyway,
basically it was all about like forcing them to follow, you know, the usual thing on Twitter. I loved Good Time. So I was like really all up and
you
that.
Just will force the follow. No shame in getting that follow.
No.
I appreciate that because you know a lot of people are thinking and trying the same thing with, but you're just transparent about it.
Right, right. And I just think I bring a lot to the table. So that's right. I think people would be lucky.
Yeah, why
to
would you
back.
Not market yourself?
Exactly. Just like. Yeah. But then, so after this whole campaign, which was failed to an extent, I went to a party where I knew Josh was invited to. And as I was heading towards the party, I started feeling real shame. And I was saying to Ohad, I was like, oh my God, now I literally have to face the music. This is so embarrassing. For a year, I've been like, you know, nagging them on Twitter. And he was like, you know what? Maybe you won't be there. Maybe it's fine. And it's like a garden apartment. It was like my friend's Audrey's party. And as we were walking in, I look like literally in the window is like Josh Safdie. And I was like, oh, shit. Now I have to. Anyway, this whole story is just to say. Anyway, it was really nice. Like Audrey introduced us. He was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And we talked for a long time. And he told me like about Uncut Gems and stuff. This was like a year ago.
Wow, what an uplifting story.
I know, it's an uplifting story. Yeah, it was really nice.
And he was wearing a sci-fi fantasy
and
shirt?
And he was wearing a sci-fi fantasy hoodie, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, up on his...
Or maybe it was a cap. He was wearing some sort of item with
That's
sci-fi
very
fantasy.
Cool. For a long time, it was really hard to get, and I think Jerry was releasing small amounts or just giving them to like the cool people. And he has sort of like, he's like kind of tapped in. He's like a photographer and knows all the cool like people and like all the art skate crossover people are very much in Jerry's world. But now the brand is getting some like actual it's like at Dover Street and like there may be more frequent drops or slightly easier to get. So I've been running it. But just really I back Jerry. And I think it's a really cool kind of weird brand that has that kind of mysterious
right. Like what is it exactly?
Yeah, you don't really know.
Right.
Jerry's not like directly a part of it in any way. It's not really like a skate brand, but it's in skate shops.
Is it like caps and like
it's just
hoodies
like caps,
and stuff?
Tees and hoodies. Yeah. I don't really think there's been anything else.
Okay.
And there's not really much to it, but like a logo like a print that says like text that says sci-fi fantasy or something else. There's a few other things, but it's like very...
Right.
But that's the thing, you know, like any skater with a real career and a following like has a brand now, which I think is cool because then you can like put some money into the pocket of the skaters you like.
Right. Like me.
Yeah.
For instance.
Like Nomi Fry and her, be it a cat calendar
cafe.
Or like a Kim Gordon Mike Kelly t-shirt, but aspiring future skateboarder Nomi Fry will, you can put money into her pocket various ways.
Yeah. So that's a vibe.
Yeah.
What else is a vibe? Let me think. Oh, should I plug Ohad's lamps?
Oh yeah,
Sam was at the, he had like a little opening at the Ducky Brown store where he was, so
Sam says the lamps are sick.
They're sick. Yeah, guys, you heard it here first. I mean, I don't know.
Ohad can put that on his website. Like, the lamps are sick.
The lamps are sick. Sam Hine, GQ style.
Sam Hine.
The lamps are sick. He has one lamp that is, like, a little more expensive. I mean, it's expensive. It's, like, a kind of a floor lamp, and it looks like a palm tree. And then he has the new lamps he just made are just, like, a sort of, like, reading lamps. And
they have a name.
Yeah, they're called the Moonflower lamps.
That's a cool.
And
one.
The bigger ones are called the Sunset lamps.
And these are sort of an extension of his art.
Yeah,
practice,
he's a sculptor. Yeah. It's the same kind of like I guess. I mean, what would I call it? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it's colorful. It's a little bit Memphis, I guess, like more of the design stuff rather than the art stuff. But, you know, he is always thinking about, I don't know, the legacy of modernism, you know?
Yeah.
So, guys, it's a vibe. Go to, it's like maromistudio.biz, I think. Is like his design stuff.
Moonflower lamps.
Moonflower lamps. Only $600, and they're made by hand.
A real work of art.
A real work of art that you can actually own, read by.
The next vibe, my next vibe. Maybe this will be the maybe this will be the last vibe.
Sure.
Unless
yeah.
you need to go again.
No, I'm good. I plugged all of my family's projects.
You got the cat calendar.
I got the cat calendar. The I got the lamps, and I got a noir novel that I'm randomly reading. So that's a vibe.
Okay, the next vibe is this YouTube video of Stevie Nicks singing the song Wild Heart, like at a photo shoot. Have you ever seen this video?
Is it part of that documentary from like 79?
I don't think it's part of anything. It's like on set at like a Rolling Stone shoot. It seems like it's in the 80s, and she's sitting and she's like having her makeup done.
And no,
so she's
I don't
like
know
facing this
one.
Woman whose back is to you the whole time, and then she starts singing the song Wild Heart, and someone's playing piano off screen. And the song, there's a Stevie Nicks song, I believe, Wild Heart, which has nothing to do with the version she sings in this YouTube clip that I'm talking about. And it's very moving. It makes me cry almost every time I listen to it. I
love it.
And I just saw that the video now has 2.2 million views. So maybe it's popular, but I don't know how popular this is.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, Stevie Nicks has like an amazing voice. I don't know if you know that or if you agree with that statement.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
Love but Stevie. There's a lot going on in this video that's very strange. And the quality is kind of poor. And it's very mysterious. And I've seen people on the internet lately using the word pure. Have you seen that?
No.
People keep referring to things as being pure.
It's like a new thing? It's
It is new. I think of it as the word people are using when they're like saying that something is like real and authentic and not like a gesture or like an ironic move or not a meme. It's like the opposite of a meme. It's like pure. It's like a real thing that really happened.
Oh,
and
that's
it
really
is exactly.
Okay.
It is exactly what it seems, and it like is associated with like real genuine emotion,
right?
And is not like contrived.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
Huh? Interesting.
I don't have good examples of it, but this video I would say is pure.
It's pure. Wow.
And I think we can play it on the way out of this pod episode.
Do you see
43.
Lindsay in it?
No, you don't see. No, there's two other women, and they're sort of all singing, but it's really hard to tell because the quality of the sound is odd. But I think three women are singing, and I don't know who the other two are.
Okay.
I'm sure people know. They're probably famous, but one of them is doing her makeup. And at times they're kind of harmonizing and then they're kind of laughing and then Stevie's just like killing it.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll like listen to it on repeat all day.
So that's a vibe.
Yeah, this is episode 43 of Corporate Lunch. Thanks for coming, Nomi Fry.
This was a real pleasure. Love talking with you, Noah and Sam.
Sam, thanks
Shout
for
Sam
Hine Productions. Please go on to subscribe to our podcast. What else do they do, Sam? Write a review. Tell a friend.
Cover story day on Monday.
The holiday issue of GQ Style is dropping.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's on the? You can't say who's on the cover.
I'm not going to say anything about it because of various legal issues, but it's coming out immediately. Like probably by the time anyone is listening to this, it's going to be out.
Very exciting.
What? Sam says buy the magazine on newsstands and then DM him a picture of the magazine or your receipt, ideally a selfie of you holding up the magazine in your best fit with a receipt and a bank statement and your social security number to Sam Hine, and you'll get a sticker. I voted. Yeah.
Wow.
Vote. Sam says vote. Buy GQ Style. Drink water, make money, eat right. DM Sam Hine. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.